Hello, everybody. I'm Mandy Hill. It's recently healed, that's why the confusion. HIV/STIs is my primary research, but childhood obesity is a passion of mine as well. Today, I'm going to discuss the UT Hall Initiative and how we plan to address childhood obesity amongst community members serviced by Hall in the Houston area. No relationships to disclose. So first, I'll give you a brief overview. We're going to discuss the public health significance of childhood obesity. I will reiterate some things that Dr. Wendell stated and present to you the UT Hall Initiative. So UT Hall speaks of the collaboration between the University of Texas Health Science Center, specifically the medical school, and the Houston Area Urban League, which is our local chapter of the National Urban League. I'll discuss focus group efficacy in African-American populations based on the literature that's been published, and long-term planning for health disparities prevented among Houstonians serviced by Hall. I think this picture really captures the extensive health disparities that are caused by childhood obesity. We're gonna talk about the problem of childhood obesity on a global level and a national level. It affects mostly low and middle income countries. In 2010, the number of overweight children under the age of 5 is estimated to be 42 million. Close to 35 million of those are living in developing countries. Overweight and obese children are likely to stay obese into adulthood, just as Dr. Wendell stated. And they're more likely to develop non-communicable diseases, particularly diabetes and cardiovascular diseases, at a younger age. This diagram depicts the complications associated with childhood obesity and how it affects the whole body. It's a systemic effect, affecting the brain, lungs, the heart, digestive tract, bones and joints, as you would expect with the excess pressure, and other areas like diabetes, early puberty in children, polycystic ovarian syndrome, things of that nature. Over the past 20 years, childhood obesity has doubled in the state of Texas. Overweight and obese fourth graders in Texas nearly doubled the nation's average. Over 9 million American children over the age or equal to the age of 6 are obese. According to NHANES, 9 of their large studies revealed that the highest percent of overweight children exists among minority populations, Hispanics, the Hispanic boys, and among African American and Hispanic girls. As stated before, childhood obesity indirectly causes these health disparities or contributes to them, particularly hypertension, type 2 diabetes, kidney function failure, heart disease, and cancers. So a brief overview of what the UT Hall Initiative plans to do. We will be doing focus groups among children that are ages 8 to 12 and their parents. We decided to use the parents because their influence has an unmeasurable impact on the children's eating behavior and their physical activities. In regards to parental influence, parents are the largest investors in children's healthy behaviors, or health behaviors overall. Parents should change their own unhealthy behaviors in order to have an effective change in the child's behavior. And parents have to be compliant with the behavior change in order for it to be effective among children. And parents need to minimize barriers to adopting healthy behaviors for their children. According to the literature, previous studies that have been done on previous focus groups among African American children identify these themes to be most prevalent and most effective when implementing focus group and childhood obesity prevention methods. Weight wish, so that's not something that's easily determined, but weight wish meaning like when we show pictures, is this somebody desirable? Would you like to look like this? And that person, are they overweight or they are normal weight? And that in turn determines weight wish of that child. Peer relations, how they interact with their peers, what's normative, what do their peers eat, what do their peers engage in regard to activities. Family life, what's normative? What do you normally eat? What do you normally do with your family when you're spending time with them? What are your favorite foods? Are they natural foods, fruits and vegetables, or fast foods, things of that nature? Entertainment, what do they do for entertainment? Is it watching TV or is it playing outside, red light, green light? Physical activities and weight reduction activities. We're assessing those things. Previously identified barriers to physical activities from the parental perspective This is what has been published. Weather. So it's raining outside, so I can't take my kid to engage in physical activity outside. Siblings. I don't have a place for the child's siblings to go. Finances. I don't have the money. Time. I have to work. Don't have time to make my child's physical activity or health a priority. Neighborhood safety, children's preference for sedentary entertainment, as long as they're watching TV, they aren't causing trouble, that's okay with me. Lack of affordable access, recreation, lack of motivation by children's caregivers, and this is the one that really struck a nerve for me. External environments and societal factors are responsible for children's unhealthy eating behaviors or habits, according to the parents. So, still talking about the public health significance, looking at the costs associated with obesity. Annually, obesity-associated illnesses cost the U.S. approximately $139 billion a year. Of that $139 billion, $14 billion are associated with childhood obesity costs, and Medicaid only pays for $3 billion of that. So the other $11 million are paid by somebody, and I believe a lot of that is us. A little strong man, I thought he was cute. Okay, so the objectives that we're going to talk about today, as far as the focus groups, we plan to explore existing thought patterns and lived experiences about eating habits and daily activity of children at risk for childhood obesity. We plan to acquire an in-depth explanation of the participants' attitudes towards factors related to childhood obesity, encompassing social norms, dietary habits, and environmental influences. And we want to explore the rationales for differences between children and their parents. So if the child says, my favorite food is a large supersized fry at McDonald's, and the parent says, oh, my baby loves apples, there's a disparity. So we want to look at that and see if that disparity exists. So this briefly describes the methodology of how we plan to implement the focus groups. So we've selected recruitment sites based upon service areas or communities that receive services from the Houston Area Urban League in the Houston area. Community members will be informed of upcoming focus groups by the UT Hall, not the UT Hall, the health navigators. The Houston Area Urban League has trained some community members to be health navigators, and those are our liaisons to the communities. So they will inform the community members, in this case, church members, that this will be going on and you guys should participate. You know, they have a vested interest, so hopefully that will increase recruitment. The focus groups will occur in place of the hall meetings. So the health navigators know of events that take place at their churches where there's a high level of participation, and we want to replace those events intermittently with our focus groups so that the community members are used to going to the church, so hopefully they'll still show up even if it's not the normal service event that they're used to. Myself and the co-I, Kimberly Johnson, soon to be Dr. Kimberly Johnson in the back over there, we will be directing the focus groups. We'll be getting consent and assent from participants. There will be separate focus groups. Children will participate in focus groups simultaneously with the focus groups for parents. So they will be separate to avoid bias. And we plan to do this among parents of children 8 to 12 years old and then the children that are between 8 and 12 years. The focus groups will not be stratified by gender, and our sample size is going to be 50. So 5 and 5 in each focus group, and we plan to do 5 of those. So once we get the data, we plan to identify themes that we learn of during the focus groups. And we're going to code the data based upon the topics that are revealed and prioritize them by level of importance. Of the reoccurring themes, we plan to analyze the patterns and identify drivers and protective factors for childhood obesity. Kim and I will independently review all of the information, all of the qualitative information that we get from the focus groups, and we'll discuss the findings. And the focus groups, we want 50, but we're going to continue them until we reach saturation, where the themes that we identify are the same over and over again. So this graph depicts our focus group tool. So overall, we plan to assess access. So access in these 5 different areas. For example, for family life, do the children have access to childhood obesity preventive information or strategies or tools, norms? For instance, Does the family sit at the dinner table? If they do, what type of food is served? If it, is it food that will prevent childhood obesity or contribute to childhood obesity? When they go to the grocery store, the type of groceries that are purchased, will it contribute to childhood obesity or prevent childhood obesity? What are the children's relationship with food? Do they have access to food out of boredom? Do they have access to food out of hunger? Things like that. The environment in the community, do they have access to activities in the community that are safe? Do they have access to parks, things like that, in their local vicinity? And finances, do they have access to healthy foods? Do they have access to grocery stores or produce, things of that nature? And transportation, they want to be a part of the Girls and Boys Club or Girl Scouts, do they have access to get there to participate? Do they have the money to participate? Things of that nature. So the focus group tool is developed around access in these five different areas. And that's the information we plan to ascertain. I think that's it. Questions, answers? I would like to acknowledge UT and the Houston Area Urban League. We do have a memorandum of understanding. So this is an official agreement, and we plan to create an intervention based upon the focus group that we do.